Marketing Support Network is proud to serve the nonprofit community by offering full-service contact center, fulfillment, digital marketing, and fundraising services. Your vision is our mission, and we can't wait to partner with you. Visit marketingsupportnetwork.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Nonprofit Hub podcast. I am your host, Megan Spear. Very excited to be joined today by NextAfter's own Nathan Hill. Super excited for this conversation about thinking outside of the box and moving us forward in 2024. So Nathan, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. I think I was on this podcast once like a year and a half ago, and I'm grateful to be back with you. So,
well, and you are certainly no stranger to the Nonprofit Hub audience because you were at Cause Camp as well.
I've been at Cause Camp a couple of times now. Okay. I've done several webinars with the Nonprofit Hub community. And honestly, like, those are some of my favorite webinars to have taught. It's like, this group of people cares about what they do. Yeah. They're passionate about learning and trying new things. And that's what we're all about. That's what I'm all about. So I love to be a part of this community.
Excellent. Well, we're certainly happy to have you. I am excited to dig into our conversation today. So tell the audience a little bit about your background and your experience at NextAfter, kind of what to frame the conversation about where we're headed today.
Yeah, well, hello, my name is Nathan. I oversee what we call the NextAfter Institute, which is a name that's encompassing of like a lot of different things. At the end of the day, the one kind of metric that I am really focused on and care the most about is how do we get more people running A/B testing or experimentation in their fundraising? Our mission at NextAfter is to decode what works in growing giving and in growing generosity, and then go share everything that we're learning with as many nonprofits, fundraisers, nonprofit marketers, communicators as we can, so we can see generosity grow. And so that's really where my head is at every day, is how do we continue to build this kind of community of people that care about testing in order to learn more about what gets more people to say yes to giving and to being generous.
Excellent. And so to that end, recently to your list of titles and accomplishments, we have now added a web series host, right? Is that what we're calling it, a web series?
I don't know. We've called it many different things. We'll get into that, I'm sure. But yeah, the amount of like, you call them accomplishments, I would just call them like random titles and jobs that I have held for the past 8 years and NextAfter is just, that list is long. Everything from web series host to slime master at our most recent conference.
I was there. I held Eric Tomalis's phone to take videos while while he was getting slimed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was fantastic. It was dreams come true.
So if for those of you who haven't seen it, or for the audience who hasn't seen it, talk to us a little bit about the web series, for lack of a better word, or whatever we're calling it. I'm really curious because I feel like, and I say this understanding the irony because we're on a podcast at the moment, right? But I feel like so many organizations are like, we have to have a podcast. We got to do the podcast. Everybody's got to be on the podcast. But NextAfter kind of took a veer left, if you will, and let's try something new, which is very indicative of your team. I know you all pretty well at this point.
Yeah.
And so let's try something new has always been the model. But talk to me a little bit about how that conversation got started, because
sure,
for those of you who are joining us in and this season on the podcast, I'm really excited because we want to give you really practical pieces, right? And so I want to talk about the process of what that looks like. If someone is starting 2024 wanting to do something new, how do you even get that part started? So talk to me a little bit about that journey.
Sure. Well, I don't have the perfect playbook for that, but I can tell you what we did in this case. Ultimately, the show, we kind of, I call it just our YouTube show is what I call it. But the title is Decoding Generosity. And that title has actually been something that has lived in Tim Kachuriak's mind, who's our founder and chief innovation and optimization officer, probably since I met him. He's had a kind of this vision and idea for like, what if we had like even a Netflix series and it'd be called Decoding Generosity and be like this. And so that's kind of started to come to life, which is really fun. But in terms of like the background and how we created it or why we even did, I mean, to echo kind of what you said, like, yes, everybody has a podcast and everyone does webinars. And this was really birthed out of a feeling that webinars had been around forever. in the modern like digital marketing landscape, like everyone has always done webinars for the past 15 plus years, if not more, and they haven't really changed. They've always kind of just been the same. You have sort of a talking head. Maybe you've got some slides. Sometimes you bring in a couple of people and you do a little panel back and forth conversation. Your little face lives in the corner while the big slides are on the screen. They're 45 minutes. You got a little time at the end for Q&A, and then you rinse and repeat. You do that once a month, and then suddenly you're 10, 15 years down the road and you haven't changed your marketing strategy. And you just keep hoping the same thing is going to continue to deliver results. And, you know, post pandemic, or probably in the height of the pandemic, rather, is when, at least for us, I'll just speak for us, but I believe for most others, like the webinar metrics peaked, where 2020 pandemic hits, everyone has to figure out how to use Zoom. And then those who were actively doing, you know, online education, training, all that stuff, had a leg up on everyone else because you already have the systems in place and all that sort of stuff. And so we saw really, really tremendous registration numbers and attendance numbers and engagement with our webinars. It, like mid 2021 is probably when they peaked, pretty consistently seeing, you know, 2,000 plus people signing up, which was incredible. And then it just like almost overnight, just all people stopped showing up. People stopped registering. It just fell off a cliff. Like there was that point in the pandemic where we all got like so tired of being on Zoom every
Zoom. Yes.
The whole time. And so it's really hard when you spend your entire day, you know, having conversations like this in meetings and all that sort of stuff, to then want to go spend more time staring at a screen or a webcam for an hour to maybe get something helpful. But you kind of know you're just going to end up getting a sales pitch at the end of the day. And so as we're seeing these kind of metrics fall off, knowing that's sort of the like the underlying feeling of people who are attending these things or not attending these things anymore, we wanted to do something radically different. And even in the conversations about what do we do, you mentioned podcasts. Like, yes, everybody has a podcast and feels like they need to have a podcast. We used to have a podcast. It's called Generosity Freak Show, and it was a ton of fun. That was run by my good friend Brady Josephson, your friend Brady Josephson, who's now at Charity Water, and incredible person, incredible at running that, doing interviews, all that sort of stuff. And then when he moved on and moved over to Charity Water, there wasn't anybody left who had the same passion to just carry it forward. And so we didn't want to do something out of just pure obligation and not have our hearts in it, because we, if we're going to go produce some kind of content, we want to make sure that it's awesome. and not do it halfway. And so we kind of let the podcast fall by the wayside. And in talking about this show, obviously that came up. It's like, should we just do a podcast or should we do a video podcast? And in those conversations, you know, we kind of came to the conclusion of like, everyone's already doing podcasts. And you go on LinkedIn and everyone, I mean, this is going to be on LinkedIn in some ways. And it's not LinkedIn,
absolutely.
There's value in this, but like everyone's kind of already doing these like video podcast things. You post them on LinkedIn, you have these talking heads and they got cool microphones in front of them and you're talking about, well, there you go.
Just like this.
Yeah. And so we kind of said, do we want to just sort of add to that noise? Not to call this noise, but we would just be another group person throwing our hat in the ring of the video podcast world and hoping something sticks. What if we try to figure out what's beyond that and what's next? What if we tried to leapfrog that and figure out, you know, how do we continue to push the envelope forward, which is very much on brand for who we are and who we try to be. So from that, this whole idea for Decoding Generosity was created.
I love that. And I would agree, Next After never does anything halfway. It is always all in. Let's try it and see what happens. And I love that about you all.
At Marketing Support Network, we are proud to support nonprofits by providing top-tier customer service solutions for your donors. Live U.S.-based agents are able to assist your callers by phone, email, website live chat, or social media response 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. From taking donations to updating records, answering questions to placing orders, let Marketing Support Network help you take donor care to the next level. Visit marketingsupportnetwork.com for more information.
Okay, so we have this idea. We're going to run with a web series and try something new. And you and Riley now are on there as the hosts.
Mm-hmm.
I loved in the first segment, the first episode of it, one of the things that you all did was almost like man on the street to figure out between like which two taglines worked.
Yeah.
And why I loved it, like which one resonated with donors who were just happened to randomly be in the next after building lobby, right?
Yeah. Like, right.
Let's test this out. One of the reasons I loved it is that it showed us again, like you all were just true to who you were.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because here it is, we're doing this web series, we're trying something new, but it's a new way to showcase who we are because you all are about testing.
Yeah.
Right? That is at the core of what Next After stands for and brings to the marketplace. And I loved that you just found a new way to do that thing.
Yeah. Right?
It wasn't, the web series wasn't, let's just reinvent the wheel and start something entirely new. It was a new way to showcase that. So talk to me a little bit about, as you guys kind of brainstorm content, how do you focus on that? Because some of our nonprofit friends, right? I know from talking to a lot of folks, especially at conferences this year, they are looking for new engaging ways to tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
And so just kind of helping them think outside the box a little bit on how to better do the same thing.
Yeah.
What you've always done is good. How do we better do that? Talk to me a little bit about your thought process for when you're planning out this show. How do you make sure that it stays true to who you are?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is that, again, this came from a need. It wasn't just like, what if we did some crazy thing, which we have plenty of those ideas. Like, don't get me wrong on that. But it came from a clear need, which was, you know, webinars have been the focus of our marketing for a long time and how we go reach the marketplace and go try to lift up and train nonprofits. And that performance is falling off. So it started from that, which I think helps focus the vision a little bit to not just be like, what if we dreamed and just came up with the craziest idea, but like it has to fit at least in some sort of box that's helping us replace or fix this sort of problem in one way or another. Granted, it's not an apples to apples thing. We can talk about that if you want to, but that's kind of where it started. We also have the benefit and the blessing of having a very clear mission and vision as an organization. Mm-hmm. And so that helps narrow that box further. Again, we're trying to decode what works to grow giving and generosity, and then go share those learnings with as many people as possible. So we're all about giving, generosity. How do we lift that? And bringing a bit of a scientific approach to it, to not just say, here's what we think, here's what we feel, but here's what donors say, here's what the data says, here's what applying science to the process shows. But obviously you dive into like, you know, deep data science and you're going to lose 99% of people. So that's kind of the tension and the balance of, well, how do you communicate some of that stuff, but then in an engaging way? And quite honestly, we decided we needed something different, and then we didn't have a plan for like several months, honestly. Around the office, we referred to whatever this new thing is that we're going to do. It had two names. We called it the anti-webinar for a long time. It's like,
okay,
you know, we don't want to do that. We're going to do something else. So yeah. It's anti-webinar. We also called it we told people we were creating hot tub webinars, which was another
okay
fabulous idea from Tim. And we may still do one at some point. But it was like, we have these great conversations, and you've been to this event, but we put this event on, you know, every year where we bring just some really interesting people in the nonprofit world together, you know, to an event for a couple of days. You all kind of hang out at resort. You do some TED talk style, you know, meetings and presentations, and then you hang out for the afternoon, have great conversation, figure out how do we grow innovation in our space. And sometimes you're hanging out in a hot tub and having good conversation. And so that was like, well, what if we just filmed it and then we had hot tub webinars? Like,
I mean, there are some great conversations that have come out of that event. I have no doubt.
Yes.
And some of those myself.
So can we bring that to the screen and bring people into some of those conversations was kind of the idea. Granted, I think we run into some challenges if you're asking people to be on camera.
Sure. In a hot tub, that's a little different.
Yeah. But that was kind of like an insider name for it for a while. It was like, yeah, we're doing hot tub webinars. We don't know what that looks like yet, but that's it kind of encompassed like we need to do something radically different. That's kind of what that meant for a while. We brought in a guy named Casey Helmick from Content Capital. We work with a couple different organizations we've worked with to help develop podcasts and that sort of stuff. And he had reached out at one point to say, like, you guys do this conference and, you know, I think there's a cool opportunity for doing a podcast from it. And they kind of morphed into, well, can you help us just figure out this show idea? And so he was really helpful in figuring out a couple key things that are now sort of the driver of it, which is obviously some of the formatting and that sort of stuff. But really, like at the end of the day, was just identifying like the show needs to fulfill a promise to anyone who's watching and anyone who's listening. And any show, whether it's a podcast or it's a anti-webinar or a YouTube show, whatever,
sure,
has to have a promise that you show up, you know that everything's going to kind of fit in this box. And so what is that promise? And effectively, the promise for Decoding Generosity is that we're going to take your assumptions about what works to grow giving, and we're going to put it to the test before your eyes. And so everything kind of fits in that box. It's really helpful to have those constraints, but it also is open-ended enough that like, we can do these sort of like person on the street type of segments. Yeah. We can go build Legos in an interesting way to show that you need to have clarity in your words and communication. We can do food experiments. We'll probably have some of those coming in. You do all sorts of stuff, but it's still under this idea that we need to challenge our assumptions and think differently, whether it's related to food or it's related to Legos or it's related to fundraising and increasing giving and generosity. So that's kind of the driving force that we landed on was here's the key promise. And now we can paint inside of those lines as creatively as we want to, but we have some guardrails and constraints to say, this is what we're trying to do and trying to accomplish.
That's great. I love that as a takeaway. Do you have something that's like, this is my favorite moment of it so far? What has been your favorite part?
That's a good question. There's been a lot of highlights, a lot of favorites. I mean, honestly, there's all sorts of things in terms of the production that's been really fun. I think a favorite part, it's probably a combination of like my favorite part and also the most nerve-wracking part of it was actually showing it to other people.
Okay.
Because we think it's fun and we're having fun creating it.
Sure.
And the wall and all that sort of stuff. And internally, everybody liked it. And when we showed it to our staff, like people laughed at all the right times. Like, okay, I think we have something.
Yes.
We showed it to a focus group before we actually launched it. And we got good feedback from that. But it was like, it was virtual. I'm not like seeing people's faces as they watch it. It was sure. Like they filled out a survey after they watched. They told us it was good. Like, okay, it's a little bit more of a confidence boost. And then when we actually like fully launched the show, we did it at our conference at the NEO Summit. And that was intentional because we have a captive audience that's there and we get to see their faces to actually know how did they react. And in a real world setting, do they laugh at the right times? Do they actually have takeaways from it? Do they value it? And one thing that we often see at that conference is like second day in the afternoon, people start to trickle out. They want to go take a phone call. They need a break. They're going to go hang out and like drink a coffee and have a snack and chat with somebody they've been hanging out with the past day and a half. And you start to lose people. And it was really, so it was nerve wracking to say, we're going to go launch this thing at NEO and watch people as they watch. Sure. But at the same time, like nobody got up. Nobody left their seat, even for like a recorded session, which.
Right. It normally is not.
Yeah. People get up and leave for recorded sessions, but nobody got up. Everyone stayed in their seats. They laughed at the right times. This was reported to me because I was, as I mentioned, slime master earlier. Sure. I was covered I had just got a bucket of slime dumped on me just before. So I was in like the venue shower trying to get cleaned up and all that stuff. And maybe intentionally took a little bit longer to get cleaned up. Like, I don't really want to go touch myself on this giant screen and see what people think about me and the show. And but at the end of it, like, we heard such great feedback, and I think it was really helpful and meaningful for people, and will continue to be. So both most nerve-wracking, but also most rewarding.
Nice. I love that. So if somebody wants to watch this web series, YouTube series, whatever we're calling it, how do they do that? How do they find this thing that you have put out into the world to help decode generosity?
Well, it's primarily a YouTube show, so you can find it on YouTube. You just search for Decoding Generosity. You can also go to nextstaffer.com/decoding-generosity, and you'll find all the episodes there. I think if you go to decodinggenerosity.com, you'll find it as well. So you can check out all those places, see every episode as it comes out. We're kind of in this stage at the moment where we wanted to get a few out the door at the end of this past year and see kind of what works and what sticks. And now I'm in the process of figuring out, okay, this is working. How do we continue to do this? How do you kind of, we've piloted it more or less, and now we're trying to figure out, how do you do it consistently? How do we scale it? How do we grow it? And so we probably won't release an episode till maybe March at this point. And then we have plans to do it consistently after that. But yeah, you can go check out the first three episodes, including a special little year-end animated version that we put together. I don't know if you got to see that.
Fantastic.
That was, in terms of highlights, that was like 4 months ago or so. That was a thought, was like, could we do this? This could be fun. I don't know that we can pull this off. And then Just Add Video is the video production company we work with, and they pulled it off in it. Again, dreams coming true through this show.
I think that is indicative, though, of, you know, obviously with Tim, but with so much of your team, it's like, can we pull this off? Yeah, let's do it. And then it comes out and it's this amazing product. So I appreciate the, like, we're going to get it done.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but we're going to make it happen. And that mindset to just go in all in.
And that's probably a good point. I mean, to talk about, like, how do you make this practical for people who are wanting to try something new and different? Like, I'm not someone who is like this big visionary type of person. I think I've grown in my creativity over time. In fact, actually, I kind of hold this with me. I had a boss who was probably one of the best managers I've ever had. And at one point in a conversation with him, we're talking about strengths and weaknesses and doing some coaching and that sort of stuff. He had made a comment that, like, an area of growth or, you know, weakness of mine is, like, I'm not the most creative. I took, like, a little bit of offense to that. Just enough to, like, that it stuck with me. Like, okay, I think I am. So how do I show that more? And then how do I utilize that more? And so that's kind of stuck with me. I'm not the most, like, over-the-top, big visionary kind of person. Tim, who's, again, our founder, is. And so, like, having that sort of pairing where you have, you know, someone who can cast the vision, that person isn't always the one who's going to go take it and go figure out all the details and all that sort of stuff. That's more of the skill set that I bring to the table, is, like, I can catch a vision and figure out, okay, how do we, like, practically make this thing work? And so as you think about any kind of new creative project, how are you going to actually get it off the ground? You can't just throw a bunch of creatives in a room and expect it's going to get done. You're actually never going to get anything done if that's right. The approach. So as you think about kind of building your team, doing that in an intentional way where you have some of the vision, obviously you need that to have any idea of where you're going, but you need the people who can go make the thing happen, who understand the details and can kind of take and catch that vision and put it together in a practical, meaningful way.
No, that's a great takeaway. Thank you. I'm going to make a little bit of a transition, because we had Eric Tomalis from Virtuous was on the podcast last week.
Yeah.
And he kind of teased that there's some exciting data that you guys have been working on together. So as we're looking at what's coming up in 2024 for things that people can be on the lookout for, talk to me a little bit about what you guys have been working on.
Yeah. Well, I went to Virtuous's their user summit, I think is what they call it, last January. So just probably almost exactly a year ago from now. And I was doing a little presentation and that sort of stuff. And we had a little booth and everything. But I really had, like, one goal in the back of my brain, which was, like, how do I need to get this team to share some of their data with us so we could do a whole report on donor retention. And it wasn't a very challenging goal because they were all on board like right away, like, yes, let's do this thing. But we typically, as we put together research studies, typically we're doing what we call like a mystery donor research report. Mm-hmm. We go make a bunch of donations and we go analyze the giving process. Sometimes we're looking at what's the pathway to get to the donation page. Sometimes we're looking at, is there friction on the page? Other times we're looking at more complicated things like what's the follow-up communication? Do they use a multi-channel approach? All sorts of things. But at no point in those research studies, if you just take the mystery donor approach, do you actually get to compare to like the real results? There's significant value in it because we can compare to what we've learned through testing and also generate new ideas. You see new things that you haven't seen before, like, oh, we should try that. We should test this thing. But what I asked of the Virtuous team was like, hey, we want to do this report to understand more about what might work to move the needle on retention, which is like one of the hardest metrics to move and one of the biggest problem areas in our entire industry, as you well know. But we can't just do it by looking at the front end, and we have our own clients that we can look at, but you know that data set is anywhere from like 30, 45-ish, depending on what data we have access to. Virtuous is a CRM, and so we said, well, what if you guys helped us build sort of the sample of who we're going to do this mystery donor report on, so we can go look at the front end experience of being a donor, and then go compare that to basically what their retention rate performance is and see what we can line up to see, you know, of those that are high performers, are there commonalities and trends? Of those who are low performers, are there commonalities and trends of things we definitely shouldn't be doing? And then in the middle are the things that we should be testing. And so we've kind of been on this path for about a year at this point of starting to look at the donor experience through the lens of retention in partnership with our friends at Virtuous. We've released two reports so far. The first one is looking at value proposition. How do organizations communicate why someone should give, and does that impact the likelihood of someone retaining over time? And then secondly, we released this, I think, mid-November, maybe end of November-ish, and we'll continue to push it here for the next couple of months in the new year. We looked more specifically at the donation experience, not just the messaging, but, you know, what's the pathway? What does the pages actually look like? Even the first like week of follow-up communication, are you doing the essential things to send a receipt, which is shocking how many people don't do that. Send a thank you email. I believe the number was like 45% of organizations didn't send a thank you email in the first 7 days, which is like, what are we doing?
That's the easiest step. There's your takeaway from this podcast. Send the thank you email.
Right. And so that's where we're at. We're currently looking at now sort of the first 90 days of communication, that like new donor onboarding window, to look at what are nonprofits doing? How does it compare to retention? How does it compare to what we've seen actually work through experimentation? And we'll continue to be on that journey through the remainder of the year as we look at, we'll look at high urgency campaigns analyzing year end from, you know, 2023, so from a month ago. How do organizations activate donors again during that season? And then we'll do sort of an all-encompassing report to look at, you know, based on everything we've learned and taken away, what can we start to glean in terms of what should we be trying, piloting, testing in order to try to move the needle on retention.
Love that. Well, I'm excited to hear the next chapter of that one. All amazing stuff. Nathan, thank you so much. Again, Nathan Hill is our guest today from Next Chapter. Really enjoyed the conversation and excited to see what you all come up with next.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Megan, for the invite. Glad to be with y'all today. Wish you all the best of luck as you work to grow and optimize your fundraising.
Absolutely. Thanks, Nathan. We will see you next time on the Nonprofit Hub podcast.
Bye.